So we have a little title, Mysteries. And the dictionary says that a mystery is difficult to understand. It's difficult to explain a mystery. Recently, I heard someone say that the gospel is so simple that even children can understand it. And you and I probably might agree with that statement, but I had issue with it. I am so glad that the Lord instructs us and doesn't expect us to grow up in one day. That He leads us and He guides us one step at a time. I'm glad that He put in His Word for us to teach our children. I'm glad that I was taught as a child, but I didn't know it all. It was a mystery. So I had to, as I thought on it and had conflicting thoughts, I had to conclude that the Word of God was a mystery to me, a big part of my life. Oh, I was familiar with it, but it took something else to reveal it to me. So I want to talk to us about mystery and revelation. The scripture says, actually Jesus said it, the things of God's word are actually hid to the wise, but are revealed unto babes. Well, I don't believe He's saying that this little baby that we have here today and this little baby back here, that God is revealing to them the Word of God. They don't understand. They cannot perceive. But it's you and me that we find ourselves in a place of great need like a baby. And that's the ones that God is able to work with and deal with and reveal mysteries. So I looked up in Cruden's, has some comments, you know, and definitions also with some words. If you've never noticed it, I'd like to encourage you to take time sometimes. If you're looking up something in a concordance, in Cruden's, study some of those definitions. I have found them down through the years to be very informative, and I found this to be informative also. So I'm going to give you some of the things that it said. It said a word, the word, mystery, signifies a secret. And it further says, a mystery being a thing kept secret and hid from our understanding till it be revealed unto us. So, have you ever had a revelation? I'm not talking about the book of Revelations. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. Maybe you're down praying. You know, most of the time when God reveals something to me, it's been when I've been on my knees. And it will be like I might not even be seeking for it. I might not even know that I need a revelation. And right in the midst of it, He just drops it into my heart and mind, and it becomes clear. And it's never the same again. Has He ever taken a scripture and anointed it? Have you tasted of anointing? If you haven't, I'm praying for you that you do. I pray for the congregation here. I carry a burden for you. I'm going to tell you the other day I was down praying and I was naming some of you out individually. And I was telling the Lord what I wanted him to do with you. And then all of a sudden the Lord put these words in my mouth. As I named out somebody else, I said, Lord, help them to eat your flesh and drink your blood. That's a mystery. I was inspired by the word of the Lord praying that way. So now I pray for all of you that you eat his flesh and drink his blood. Yes. That it will be opened to you. It will be revealed. I believe it's time. Don't you? Don't you think it's time that you and I move to another level? Get a little higher? I think it's time. I think the Lord is calling for us to come up a little bit higher. So, in other words, this statement that I said, biblical, I put this in my own words, biblical and spiritual mysteries would never be known without revelation. I'm thinking about when Jesus was speaking to his disciples one time, and he said, who do men say that I am? And so they answered, some say you're Elias, and some says this, and some says that. And he says, who do you say? And they said, we say, or I say, you are the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it unto you. So you and I are not going to get revelations necessarily from each other. We may hear testimonies of your revelation, but until the Spirit of God anoints it to me, inspires it to me, it's just information. But he wants it to be more than information to you and me. He wants the word of the Lord to be alive. He wants it to be precious. He wants it to be his flesh. He wants his blood, us drinking of him. I mentioned it to Cheryl when I had prayed, and she was sort of silent a little bit, and she says, well, I guess we do need another ordinance service. You know what? You don't have to wait for an ordinance service. You can daily eat his flesh and drink his blood and have a greater enlightenment as to what that means and what it does for you. Oh, I want to tell you, he even said in so many, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That his mercy endureth forever. And I want to tell you, I've been sitting here this morning and just sort of the thought came to me about his mercy. His mercy is a mystery. It's mysterious how great his mercy is to mankind. I may look on this one and that one and think, oh, God's judgment is probably in their life, or should be. And God isn't showing judgment at all. He's showing mercy. And sometimes I can hardly comprehend how merciful God is. And then the thought comes and people will they will just presume upon his mercy. You and I don't want to ever presume upon his mercy. We don't want to take it for granted. But we can have his mercy resting in our lives and going before us and following us. And you can pray for his mercy. I do. Don't you? Don't you cry out in your prayers and say, Lord, have mercy on me. He wants to show us his mercy. One of the reasons that mysteries cannot be known without revelations is because it exceeds, and this came from Credence, human knowledge and understanding. I mean, without the revelation, without divine revelation, you and I are probably no better off than any other religion. But when he makes it alive and opens it up to us, that's when we can eat it. Didn't he say in one place, he said, to take the book and to eat it? And it said, it'll be so sweet in your mouth or in your tongue, but it goes down into the belly and it becomes bitter. It's because that's where it's going to have to digest. It's going to have to begin its work in my life, and it's going to have to start producing something beyond what I've had back over here. So another scripture that I want to give to you, and I'm going to read it backwards. It's 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and I'm going to read from 7 to 6 to 5 and to 10. That's how I was inspired with it. Verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. You know, we might compare ourselves to other, and I hesitate to say it this way, religious people of the world, and we may say, oh, we are such an enlightened people. And we are. I am far more enlightened today than I was 50 years ago. I'm far more enlightened today than I was just a few years ago. Why? Well, I don't want to say that we're gospel hardened or we're waterlogged, but we've heard a lot. And it will stir our spirit to seek after knowledge and understanding, wisdom. And God hears those cries. And he works in our life in that way. And so, even though we may say, well, I've got some faults, this wisdom is spoken unto you and me because there's been a perfecting. He said in one place, he says, he will perfect that which concerneth you down through your life. He doesn't perfect us all in one day. The scripture teaches us that it's line upon line and precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. That's how God works with us. Even from a child. Child, we are children of God. And it says, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So they speak the wisdom to us, but it's not like the wisdom of the world. And then verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, thank the Lord. There's many books out there. There's many, many, many countless words have been written by people. Good things have been said. I caution you today, be careful of what you read. There's some good things to read. I'm talking about spiritual things. You and I both need the Spirit of God in us, working in us, protecting us with a spirit of discernment. That when you read something that is not according to truth, not according to the mysteries of God, It's not been revealed. Leave it alone. Be very cautious. And I'm not saying there's nothing out there you can read, but be cautious. Be careful. So now we go down to verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, with the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. Do you want to be deeper in the things of God? There's a way for all of us to grow in the things of God, grow in the knowledge of God, grow in the grace of God. There is a way, but it's us, you, me, seeking for it with our whole heart. The Lord said that you will find me when you search for me with your whole heart. So there's a secret of the mysteries of the Word of God. The mysteries of God can be opened up to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants you and me to grow in the knowledge of God. So he reveals it by his Spirit. Thank the Lord. There is an example of the doctrine that is a mystery. And Jesus didn't say it. I think Paul said it, but he was referring to Christ. And he was speaking on marriage. And he referred to Christ and the church, which is the bride of Christ. And he said, this is a great mystery. Maybe it hadn't been introduced before to the minds of the people at that time, but to see Christ as the head of the church and to see the church as the bride of Christ, to see the purpose. Did you know there's going to be a great marriage someday? Oh, not like earthly marriages. It's when he calls all of his people home. At the end of all of this, and he comes for his bride, and they will be reunited. His people and Christ will be united for all eternity. That's the mystery. It happens here. It starts here, but it ends there. Oh, we think weddings are really wonderful. Young, full of expectations and hope. But we all know life goes on and it becomes absolute routine in life. And that's just life. You and I have to guard becoming routine as the bride of Christ. We mustn't become dull and insensitive to the Spirit of God, who is wanting to reveal his mysteries unto us. Check yourself. Do you know you have a spiritual pulse? Are you still alive? Do you check your pulse ever? You take your blood pressure and you find your pulse is whatever. Make sure you're alive with Christ. That you're very aware and alert. Be sensitive to the things that God wants to reveal unto you and me. That same scripture that I just referred to of it being a great mystery of Christ and the church, did you know what it ended with? It said, it is revealed to the children of God. It's not revealed to people that are not seeking for it. It has to be revealed to those that believe and trust and accept the power of God in their lives. There's some other phrases I want to give you from the Word of God about mystery. And I could have given you more. And I challenge you, get your concordance and look up this word and study it out and read some of the scriptures, because it's not revealed to everybody, as we will see from the word. I shew you a great mystery. And then another phrase says, this is a great mystery. Another one is the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. You see, God reveals himself to us, but not 100%. It's another one of those things that's little by little. Yes. And you can know God in a greater measure as he opens himself up to you, but there's still a mystery. You know that no man has seen God and lived. That there's been only one that saw him, and it was his backside. But he saw his glory. Yes. I'm thinking how important it is that you and I understand a little bit of the mystery of his glory. His glory is something beyond. It's almost like what I said, how the mysteries can only be known by revelations, because it exceeds human knowledge and understanding. His glory exceeds our human understanding. But we can taste it. We can have a little vision of it, can't we? And it can be expanded. Thank the Lord. So it's revealed unto his children. And the knowledge of the mystery of God. And it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. Another scripture, I'm giving you parts of it. It says, make all to see the fellowship of his mystery, of the mystery. So now I want to read a scripture over in Deuteronomy 29 and 29. And the Lord gave me this a number of years ago, this particular verse. It's one of those inspired verses that you don't forget. And it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us. Oh, What a great blessing that we can claim and hold to those things that are revealed unto us. Don't turn them loose. Don't let them slip. Keep them. Hold them. Meditate upon them. Make them a part of your choices every day. Choosing life. Now I'm going to give you a couple of phrases about revelations. I'm going to call them divine revelations. It doesn't say it that way in the Bible, but I believe that any kind of revelations that I get from God is divine. Divine revelations are things that revealed through and by the Holy Spirit. How often down through your life have you heard messages on sanctification? What it means? The infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Two works of grace? Oh, a great contest is out there. That there's only one work of grace. That you get it all at the same time. But scripture verifies it is a second work. That you and I are justified by faith. It is a gift. But it also goes on and says it is the will of the Father that you and I be sanctified holy, that we receive of Him His Spirit that is holy. And the Scripture plainly tells us what that Spirit does, what its work is. It teaches me, it leads me, it guides me. It has a purpose. I have to rely on it. I have to seek for it. It also says it seals me. You know what a seal is? If you can any food and you put the food in and you follow all the directions and you clean the seals and you put this seal on and the ring on and you put it in the canner, it goes through a heat process and it comes out and you wait to hear it ping. And when that lid, when that seal is done, it is sealed until something breaks it. And God has a way of sealing His people. Yes. Does that mean you can never backslide? You can backslide. Amen. You're going to have to maintain your seal. Thank the Lord. So, another one is divine revelations. Oh no, I'm going to give you the phrases now. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He revealeth His secrets unto His servants. You have to be a servant to receive. Are you a servant? Are you a servant of the Most High God? A servant is one that serves. A servant is one that follows, and He wants to reveal His deep secrets unto you and me, His children. Now I'm going to change just a little bit, reveal some of His mysteries, because Jesus taught a lot of things to the multitude as well as His disciples, and He used parables to do it, and there was a mystery about it. And I've heard it said in our congregation, it was called life lessons. But there's an underlying message. When Jesus gave these parables, it was up to the one that heard it to find the mystery. Or to seek for the mystery. In Mark, the 4th chapter, and verses 11 and 12, He said to His disciples, because they had just heard a parable spoken to the multitude, and when they were privately with Jesus, they said, "What does this mean?" You see, they didn't have the revelation yet, but He revealed it. And He said, "Unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them without," or to those that are outside of the kingdom, "these things are done in parables." And then verse 12 says, "That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand." You know, that just almost sounded unfair. But it was what was happening in their hearts. You know, when the multitudes followed Jesus and they ate of the fish and the loaves, what was their reaction overall? They wanted Him to be a king so they didn't have to work for food. They had selfish reasons. So there were people that were following that didn't have their heart in the right place. And Jesus said they would have eyes that would see and they wouldn't perceive. And they would have ears and they heard, but they wouldn't really hear it. So it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Okay. In that passage where that was said to the disciples, do you know what he had just taught them? What parable? It was about the sower and the seed. And the four different types of soil. The stony ground. You know all of the soils. The seed was the word of God. The sower is maybe the minister now, but it's sowed by the Spirit of God. It's planted. It's cast out there. It can either take root and grow and produce, or it can wither and die. And so the mystery was revealed unto the disciples. And the thought came to me like this: a perceiving heart. What would a perceiving heart? Had you been in that group of people that heard the parable the first time, a perceiving heart would want to say it like this: wait a minute, I see a warning here. You know, we have to recognize when the Lord is sending us a warning. It should get our attention. And then an understanding ear, what would it say? Which one of these soils do I represent? He's told me about four different kinds and what will happen to the seed. And there was only one that the seed took root and grew and produced. To have the seeing eye that would perceive and the hearing ear that would understand, they have to seek after it and say, which one am I? It made me think of a scripture. Let's turn and read that over in Psalms 139. And it's one that I use in prayer. I trust that you're using it also. Did you know it's very important to use the Word of God in your prayer? That's why we have it hid in our heart, that we might not sin against God. We have it hid that it will come up in prayer, and you can repeat it to God, and you can say, this is what I want. But this one is 139, verses 23 and 24. And very familiar. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He knows your heart anyway. But for you to say it gives him permission to really know it. Try me and know my thoughts. He knows your thoughts. Whether you ask him to know your thoughts or not, he knows them. And then it says, and see if there be a wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. You know, take these verses, these two verses, make it a matter of your prayer. It's not a waste of time to say, Lord, search me. I want to be led in the way that leads to everlasting life. I want you to, do you know what this word, to see if there be any wicked way in me, you know what that, the reference on it, maybe not in this Chain Thompson, but at another Bible that I had, it said, if I would have any way of pain in me. And that reaches out beyond yourself. That reaches to those, your loved ones, and those people that you have contact with. If you're not demonstrating and exposing that light that is to be within you, and that's a mystery also, and he wants to reveal it unto you. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. You are that city. But if you've taken your candle and you've hid it under a bushel, how will men be able to glorify God? How will men be able to see the good works in you and give God the glory? Use the scripture when you pray, so the great mysteries. This thought came to me, that the great mysteries will test the faith of all believers. When we don't understand, when it hasn't been revealed unto us, and what are we doing? We're waiting. Wait on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There is a lot of waiting and seeking for and asking. We're not asking for all of the material things of life. We shouldn't be. We should be asking for the spiritual things, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added. There's no other valuable asset in your life except to seek for it, the spiritual things. It's the only thing that carries weight, and it's the only thing that bears rewards. Don't you know that? You and I may spend all of our energies, and we have to. I mean, we've got to go to work. No one should feel guilty about going to work. No young mother should feel guilty about the time spent taking care of babies and husband and house, because we're commanded to do it. You're fulfilling God's command when you do those things that have to do with life itself. But in the midst of it, right while you're doing it, you don't have to be on your knees to do it. Seek those things that are above. God honors that. He will reveal the mysteries as you go. You will understand. But our faith is sometimes tested. This thought came to my mind. Trust and believe in that which is revealed. What God has revealed to you, hold on to it. Build on it. Trust in it. Oh, I remember when God revealed that to me. I was never the same. You hold that and build on it. So you trust in those things that have already been revealed. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Sometimes we might think we're smart. We might think we have a lot of knowledge. Don't trust in it. You still trust in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your revelations. I added something there, didn't I? He'll direct your paths. But your paths will be filled with the mysteries of God revealed. Thank the Lord. But it's that trust in the Lord. Time's getting away. I'm going to give you a couple of more mysteries of parables that Jesus taught them, and I'm glad that they're recorded for you and me to read and study. In the, I counted this up in the concordance, but there are 39 parables in the four gospels. So, a lot of teaching there. A lot of mysterious things. But there was one that I want to caution us that we not label it as a parable, because included in it was the account of the rich man and Lazarus. That was not a parable. The scripture says, and remember this, Here's what the scripture says. It said, for Jesus said, there was a certain rich man. He also said there was a certain beggar. So it became an account and not just a life lesson. And what I believe that this account was intended to do was to get our attention. We're not going to turn and read it. I think you're familiar with it. It's to awaken us to be prepared to the reality that there is two places in eternity. Only two. The rewards are with both. You will be rewarded with eternal life in heaven, but you will receive the reward of the lost. And that's what Jesus used this parable. There I did it. It's not a parable. This account, this happened. And he wanted us to be very alert to it. So that's one thing you don't want to count as a parable. I'm thinking that down through my life and probably yours too, you've heard numerous messages using the rich man and Lazarus. How many times have you seen the minister dip his finger in the water and hold it up for you to see the little drop that is on the end of the finger? You know why? Because of the word of the Lord. Because that's what the rich man was asking for from Lazarus, to come down there and just give him a drop. What's the purpose of the demonstration? To get your attention. A drop of water in eternity in hell will not cool his tongue, but he thought it would. He wanted that. And so Jesus taught these things to get our attention. So there's two other parables that I do want to bring to our attention before we close. And one is the five wise and the five foolish. The five wise went prepared. The foolish were unprepared. They carried no extra oil. And the day came that the announcement was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. They wanted them to share their oil, but they could not. You can't share your oil today either. You can't give what is going to be required of you to make it in yourself. And so they told them, they said, well, go and buy. It sounded like they might have had a little time, but it was really too late. Because when they got back from trying to purchase something to make it sufficient, the door was shut. And they would not open it for anyone. Now that's a parable that should speak to us also. Now I personally think that the parable of the tares and the wheat is the most critical parable that Jesus gave. And I think that it would be very wise for each one of us to study the parable of the tares and the wheat. And I'm not going to read it, but I am going to read some of the verses. It's in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I do choose to read some of these verses because I think it's very important that we have this in our hearts. I'm going to read verses 24 through 30 and then 34 through 43 because this is one parable that Jesus reveals the mystery. He didn't leave them in the dark. So he said, another parable he put unto them saying, kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in the field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said, An enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, No. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now that's the parable. Now if you and I heard that, I'm not sure we would have been much wiser than the disciples were. Because the disciples, you come down, and it said, all these parables, verse 34, spake unto the multitude, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Verse 36, Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came and said, Declare unto us the parable of the tares and the wheat. And so Jesus opened it up to them. He identified every part. He identified the field. Let us not be deceived. It said that the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, the redeemed. I'm going to say that. And the tares are the children of the wicked one, but they're growing together. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. It's very clear, should be very clear to you and me what this parable stands for. On the part of the world, the field is the world. A commentary says it like this. The world is the visible church scattered over the world. This is a spiritual thing. It's not just the world. This is where spiritual influences, preaching, teaching, singing, praying. It's the services of God, where God's people are meeting. And you're going to find wheat and you're going to find tares. That's why I count this one of the most serious parables that Jesus gave. Because it's our time. We're drawing nigh to the end of time, to the judgment, to the end of the world. And you can study about all that they said will happen on that day. But this one is going to be very serious. I remember, I believe it was Sister Mary Lawson, preached a message on make sure you are wheat. So I'm going to use her little phrase and leave it with you today. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Yes. And did you know, and I'm not going to go into all of the details of how tares looks. Did you know that if you eat the tares, it's poison? If you harvest it, if it gets mixed in with the wheat and you make your bread with it, it's poison. I studied it out one time. It tells all that it does to the physical body. Tares. You don't want to be a tare. But it looks just like wheat. until the harvest. That's why it was given the instructions, don't pull up the tares. It's growing right beside the wheat. And it will destroy wheat. You let it grow. At the end, I'll separate it. Let us all be very serious about this great mystery. Let it be revealed to us. Make sure you're wheat. Our final scripture is Proverbs 14 and 12, which to me goes along with this parable. It justifies the parable. And it says, there is a way that seemeth right. But what's the end of it? The end is death. That scripture we have quoted over and over down through your time, my time. But it justifies the parable. So our final little statement is this. Make your calling and election sure. Be ready when he comes. Amen.